Welcome to the first ever SoCal Toy Show, where we blow the dust off the stories of local collectors. I'm Josh Bass, and I'm here with two toy collecting brothers, Jeff and Corwin Webb.
Hello.
Hey.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, Jeff. Tell us what you collect.
I'm Jeff. I'm an animator.
Kind of a big question.
Artist. Comic artist. Pin creator. Everything. Toy maker, a little bit. I collect Star Wars, Ninja Turtles. Those are kind of the two big things I collect right now. And then whatever looks cool.
I get that. Thank you, Jeff. Now, Corwin, when I invited you and your brother, you mentioned to me that you had something very unique that you collected. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what that is?
I'm Corwin, and I collect, I mean, like Jeff, I collect Star Wars in general. But I collect specifically Wampas from Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back Wampa, which started as a sort of accidental collection. I just bought one of the original, was it a Kenner doll? Or was
yeah,
it
I believe Kenner.
It's like the big, tall, fluffy.
It was the Kenner
inch.
90s 12 inch 2 pack.
Yeah. The one that had Luke and the Wampa. And I was like, I can't not get that. It's
but
too
I,
good.
I believe that was also you ended up coming home from Comic Con with like 3 Wampas.
Well, yeah, so that's what happened. Was I got the one and then I went to a different booth and they had the very original Kenner Wampa figure for $8. And I was like, that's awesome. It's the original, the first ever produced. I was like, all right, can't go wrong with that. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'll throw in this other one. I have this other Wampa. I'll throw him with the purchase. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, what have you done to me?
Now, you also mentioned that I've never heard anybody else collecting these. A minute ago, you mentioned that you collect Tamagotchis.
I do have Tamagotchis, yeah.
How many of them are alive? How many of them are dead?
They're all dead. Every single one of them is dead. Every so often, I'll turn one on for fun, and then, like, by
it
the end of...
It lasts, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then in, like, 2 days, you're like, oh, God, I haven't fed you in so long.
I remember growing up, it being such a struggle to find the CR3032 batteries, or 2032 batteries, or whatever
yeah.
It was, the little button cells.
Totally.
And I used to get so excited every time I would see them, like, going to, like, Radio
Shack.
Dude,
you know it's a fun life hack? Is, like, for all of you that are collecting Tamagotchis, right? It's such a, you know, current
all
thing.
All 7 of you.
Well, they rebooted it recently.
Yeah, and it's, like,
they're
pretty
smaller
tiny,
now.
Tiny,
those were cool.
The Gen 1, like, reboots.
When they announced, I was afraid. I was working at Toys R Us at the time, and I was really afraid that people were going to start coming and asking for Tamagotchis, even though they were just a Japan-only thing. But it had blown up
they
on Twitter.
They eventually came here, but yeah, initially.
They had blown
right,
up on
right.
Twitter, and I was
dude,
like,
I was
oh,
that
God.
Guy. I was that guy.
Did you?
Yeah, I'd come in and be like, where are they?
Obviously, I wasn't working at the time.
No, like, fun life hack is, like, you can buy... If you get, like, a laser pointer for, like, $1 at the 99-cent store, that comes with 3 of the batteries inside of it already. And those work. So instead of spending, like, $9 on a single battery, just get, like...
Go to the 99-cent store,
yeah, exactly.
Buy a dog laser pointer, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
They changed the batteries, that means. They have the even smaller ones now that you're saying. Because I remember them being about...
Oh, the big,
about,
the big,
like,
big
an inch wide.
They're, like...
Yeah, now they're probably about, like, the centimeter
this is,
one.
This is thrilling talk with us.
So thrilling. But
I think
this
originally
is
they were, like, standard watch size.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think
exactly.
They've gotten smaller.
The yeah, and then like, other than that, I just collect, you know, to be honest, I collect everything and anything. Anything that I like. I just like toys in general. Mm-hmm. So, like, if something sparks my fancy, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get that.
Even if something you've never seen before, you're like, I don't know what this is. But
dude, that's
like,
my favorite. If you find an old toy from, like, the 80s or 90s and you have no idea what it is and, like, just a bin of random figures, I'm like, I got to have that.
I have a very, very interesting figure that I discovered one day. It was a part of the line that Transformers come from. So Diaclone, I think it was Microman technically, that part
mm-hmm.
of the Transformers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know, Transformers came from two lines, Microchange and Microman, and they kind of branched into the American market and had like continuity and stuff written by Marvel.
Right.
But back in Japan...
Was it Marvel out the gate?
In America,
it was Bob
Budakowski.
I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that name, but yeah, it was Marvel
gotcha.
That came up with Optimus Prime mm-hmm. and all that. But they're these little robots. They're about inch and a half.
Are those the ones with like the clear?
No.
Okay.
They're about an inch and a half tall, and what they basically are is robot Lego. So you have multiple different. Robots and they all have like this modular system and they can connect to each other and basically use their poseability to build things.
That's awesome.
That was cool.
And I hadn't, and I found out there's some, they're like this big. They're like inch and a half tall, and they're like $15 per.
Of course.
Yeah. And I found it at a flea market in Pasadena for $3.
Nice.
And I've been obsessed with them since. Yeah. I was.
Do you have a bunch of them now, or just
I? I have maybe like 20 of them.
Okay.
But it's they're rare on eBay. I follow them on eBay.
Right.
So if anytime they ever show up,
yeah, you get the alert.
I get the alert, but they end up being so expensive. But the other unique thing about them is they act kind of like combining toys. Yeah. So they all have little accessories and stuff that you attach onto them, make them more robot-like, and turn them into vehicles. Right. There is a advertisement for them in a Takara catalog that basically shows G1 Optimus Prime, the trailer bed, not even the sides of the trailer, just the bottom of it.
Yeah.
With combining with these robots, it's really
that's
funny. Cool.
That's so good.
Anyway, obviously you love Wampas.
I do.
So, are those your grail? Is that do you always go out of your way to buy them?
No, I mean, honestly, now they just come to me. Like, I got a package in the
mail. I'll let you know. We have a couple of mutual friends. I'll let you know if I ever run into them.
They just show up at my doorstep now.
So what is your holy grail of collecting?
My grail. Oh. Let me throw that one to Jeff, and then let me think on that one for a second.
Well, my grails right now are I've got one of them, but the four, 12-inch Ninja Turtles from the 80s.
Okay.
Mm. I've got one. I've got a Michelangelo that I got on eBay for pretty cheap with the box and nunchucks and everything, which is super cool. I'd even buy them loose, but they're basically my grails right now, ones I'm looking for.
I like a lot of, like, Japanese kaiju toys and stuff like that, but they're, like, always ridiculously expensive, and especially if you get something big, you know? Like, anything that's over, like, I don't know, like, 12 inches. Yeah, all of a sudden, you'll go to a booth, and you'll be like, oh, this thing's super rad, and then you check it out, you're like, oh, that's $300. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, our mutual friend has a beautiful collection of...
Wonderful.
And he has recently purged a lot of his toys.
Oh, no.
I'm glad that he has kept those because...
Seeing those on the shelf.
He has a giant shelf of them sitting over his computer desk.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Beautiful.
Totally.
Some of those are... You were saying a lot of them are worth some money, too.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, as far as grails go, if I find one that, like... If I can just get a sick deal on one of those, then I'm like, that's, you know, that'll do it for me.
Now, interesting question for you. Who got who into collecting?
I think it was mutual.
Honestly, our
Jeff's
mother.
Jeff's older, so.
Your mother.
Our mother
collects stuff. Not toys.
Yeah. Mom collects stuff.
But she collects, like, old books, art things, miniature. If it's small, it doesn't, like, if it's like a small mouse or a small deer or something, it doesn't matter.
Old stuffed animals. You know
what it was? She collects nutcrackers at Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And growing up, every Christmas, we would get a new nutcracker.
Yep.
And a new character for the nativity set.
And a new ornament.
And new ornaments.
Yeah.
So it's all based around, like, the Christmas stuff. But I think
you're blowing my mind right now.
I think that actually
the
probably
origin story
got us into the concept of, like, not even into the concept. It was just, like, in our blood. Like, oh, we just collect things.
Yeah. Yeah, our dad wasn't a collector at all, but mom was a huge collector.
Yeah.
That's, you know, snowball.
My grandpa was a collector of elephants, and then my mom.
Elephants, okay.
My
Jeff
mom.
Turtles.
Real turtles.
The
real teenage ones.
Yeah.
He goes to.
Did
he goes
collect
to
Teenage Mutant Ninja Elephants? Or
no. Rocksteady. Or no, is it Bebop or Rocksteady?
Rocksteady.
I know something.
He's a rhino.
But I kind of. For me, it was more of, I did good one day.
Yeah.
We had, like, some play at kindergarten, and my mom took me and got me a toy after, and I almost bought a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
She was like, Power Rangers aren't that cool.
I did collect Power Rangers also, by the way.
Mm. Weren't we not allowed to watch Power Rangers or something?
I never
no,
got into
No, that was
it.
Chris Moskal.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, okay, yeah.
Sorry to name drop somebody, but yeah.
Shout out to them. But we went to Target after the show, and... Basically, she let me pick out a toy and ended up being my first Transformer, which I still have till this day.
And which one was it?
Energon Tidal Wave. So okay. one of the
that is off the top of my head, but sounds sharp. Pretty awesome.
No, it's basically a space aircraft carrier.
All right.
So it's white and like clear green plastic, and it was awesome. And apparently it's worth a lot today, which I'm never selling.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. But that's how I got into it. Now, one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about today is being brothers and how collecting affects you guys and how your relationship works around collecting.
Yeah.
Because I know, as being really close to my sister, I end up influencing her a lot. So the other day we went to like a toy show. She was like, oh, I explained to her, it's like a flea market but toys.
Right.
And she ended up coming home with 3 Funko Pop figures that she never would have bought unless I was there to influence her. So how do you guys influence your relationship as brothers and toy collectors?
It's bad.
It is
like,
bad.
Hey, we're like enablers. You should probably get that. You should probably get that.
There's no like, well, maybe. Someone's like always like, no, it's fine. Like,
we tend to like a lot of the same kind of stuff, and we have similar
very similar
styles and stuff, so I feel like we just kind of collect a lot of the same stuff. Is there a better answer than that?
Like, do you think it strengthens your relationship?
The thing is it helps that, like, so as soon as you buy a toy, you have somebody to talk to about it, right?
Yeah, I get
that.
So,
like, whether it's, you know, just like, oh, look at the posability and all of the different joints.
Look
of this
at these
thing.
Sweet paint apps.
Yeah, look at
for
like,
me.
Oh,
it was I went straight to YouTube. You guys.
Yeah, but that works too. But like
you guys had each other.
Yeah, exactly. So you always have somebody to be like, dude, check this out, and then so that makes it more fun.
Which also strengthens like the hobby itself.
Cause yeah, exactly. It makes the hunt more worth it.
Yeah, I had a period of time where I was losing interest mainly because I had nobody to talk to about what I was buying. So
I think that has definitely kept us going because we've always done it, but we've always kind of done it together anyways.
And when you have like-minded friends or anything, like whether it's a sibling or just a friend that collects or whatever, it makes it much more exciting to collect. Yeah. I don't think that you should stop collecting if you don't have that person to, you know.
But it does help. It does have that.
Like, it makes it more exciting. Well, there's a community involved. Like,
yeah.
I used to be a part of a lot of different toy communities. I'm still part of some. But like forums and all sorts of stuff where, you know, you're showing, you know, you got this today. I got this today. Oh, sick. That's awesome.
That's not as fun, though. Being able to, for me at least, being able to express my love for toys to another person.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's my mom and I'm just, like, talking off my mouth and saying
random
things.
Too, and she's
she
like,
would
uh-huh.
never
yep.
know.
Oh, yeah.
It's still something that really
it
makes
took
it
me 20 years probably to realize that my mom did not care about the toy that I was talking to her about.
My mom learned. I was very impressed. She went to 3 BotCon.
Mom's learned, yeah. She appreciates it. She'll find a sweet toy and like text us and be like, do you guys want this? I'm like, obviously.
Yeah, my mom has bought me Hot Wheels cars in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the other day, mom texted us like early in the morning with something I've never seen. I was like, I don't need it, but it was just some random thing. That was some exclusive in, like, 2001.
She's like, I don't even know what this is. Do you guys know what this is? Should I get it for you? I'm like, I don't know what that is either,
but thanks for being on the lookout.
Yeah.
So, another thing you guys, and how I originally met you guys, is you guys both worked at the Lego store.
Mm.
Now, I worked at Toys R Us, which is another thing. So, I wanted to know how you guys, how toy collecting and a job working mixing those two things together how was the experience for you basically?
Detrimental in the fact that it's hard to keep your paycheck.
Yeah.
Because you get paid and you're like, well, I'm bringing 3 of these home.
I need groceries. I need rent.
And then you're like, oh, I got
this side
after
change.
After that, my check is like $8.
Oh yeah, it was really hard. That Toys R Us. It was really hard to go a shift with not being like, okay, I'm just annoyed to heckin' back.
Yeah.
So
you just like look at it all day. You're like, and, I'm gonna bring
and
one
it
of
doesn't
those
hurt.
Home.
Now now I want something to go home to release some steam, especially Lego.
Yeah. Because
that was the only thing you could get a deal on Toys R Us, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, not to discuss discounts, but like having a discount definitely makes
they gave me nothing.
That really greases the wheel.
At Toys R Us, they gave us 10%.
Okay.
Really?
That was tax.
All right.
We can't say what it was at Lego, but
oh, I know what it is. And it's impressive.
It was nice.
It's probably not hard to find out.
It helps grease the wheels.
No, I'm sure it's not. I won't be the guy who says it, but yeah, I'm sure it's not.
Exactly.
Hard to
I wouldn't put you in that position.
But yeah, it's, you know, when when something new comes out, it's very exciting, and it's, you know, they generally, we can't buy it immediately so that the customers can get to it, which makes sense because then all the employees would buy up the entire stock.
Yeah. They I know they limit you guys on when you can buy things, like out you I know they've changed the policy over multiple times.
Yeah, it just
me going into
item,
the Lego store.
Item, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they
for
prevent
better,
you from
honestly,
buying
it's
a
probably
day
better
of.
Because then I'm not just because then you have time to let it sit on the shelf and you're like,
yeah.
You're like, do I actually need that? A month ago, I was like, I need that right now. And
yeah,
then you're
for,
like, okay.
For Transformers, you're just like, you see it on the shelf,
right.
You have to have it because you don't know when you're gonna find it again.
There you go.
But speaking financially, how do you guys plan for purchases? Do you guys don't share the same collection technically, you just display it all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you guys live together.
Yeah.
So do you guys go and talk about every month or so, I want to buy this, this, and this? And
it
do you
just
have
comes
to
up naturally in conversation. But it's like,
yeah.
It's not, we don't buy as much as you would think that we do. We have a lot of the same stuff that we've had our entire life sitting
yeah.
on our shelves.
Yeah, if you look at our collections, it's like,
doesn't change
I got 20 years of Comic-Con under my belt.
It doesn't.
Those are 20 years of Comic-Con on my shelves.
It right, doesn't grow
right,
very
right.
often,
it's
you
not,
say?
I mean, we do bring stuff home.
But we're like there are a lot of collectors where like something comes out and they're like, all right, I bought all 12 figures from this series and every single one costs $29.
Yeah.
And
I am one of those.
Right.
Yeah, we don't.
We're more of like I bought the one figure from
that
series
that
I
wanted.
Yeah,
yeah, we're actually really good at like
that's healthy.
Seeing like, well, this is the line. They all came out. They're all pretty cool.
I want like two of them.
That's my favorite
now.
One. I'll get that. Maybe
yeah.
I'll get another one later.
But then if we're, like, into them, then it's like, all right, maybe I'll start collecting the rest of the line or whatever. But,
yeah,
yeah you know. For how much we have, like, the completionist mentality in our head, we're very good at not being completionist when it comes
yeah.
to sets. Because once I get close, then you just want the whole set. It's very hard. Like, if you're missing, like, two of a series,
yeah.
even if you don't want them, you're like, I don't even like those characters. And you're
that's
like, all right, well, I got to go spend money on them now.
That's my problem with Ninja Turtles.
There's
four of them.
Right.
So anytime there's a new set, I'm like, well, now I've got to buy four of these guys.
Yeah, and those could be $50 plus per figure. You never
right.
know.
Yeah, at Comic-Con, I definitely bought the exclusive from NECA, and that was like $127
for
the four.
For four.
For four figures, which look like they...
They're like the best ones in your collection.
They look... They're the 1991 movie, 90 movie, I forget what...
Oh like
89,
the,
geez.
Yeah, the when they were still in the costume
yeah,
and stuff like that.
And they look... I've seen pictures on like Reddit of people taking of them. It just looks like the movie. They're so well done. I'm so happy with them that they look because they were copies of the actual prop.
Mm-hmm.
They've got so one to one almost that it looks. They're
but
phenomenal.
Then the bummer of it was that they re-released them later with different packaging.
Yeah, I got them at Comic-Con.
So does that ever happen to you?
Toy collecting.
Right, yeah, does that ever happen to you where you buy something that's like an exclusive and then it gets a re-release?
And now
NECA's
releasing.
Well, recently, with this past Comic-Con, Hasbro's exclusives aren't being very exclusive anymore.
No, they're not.
No.
So that Optimus Primal figure that they had for one of the Transformers exclusives this year...
Was it the Throne?
Yeah, the
yeah.
Throne mm-hmm. of Optimus Prime set, or Throne of Optimus Primal set, or Throne of the Primes, I think it,
yeah.
that's
Throne
the technical
Primes.
Name.
Yeah.
Interesting set. I bought it. I'm not big on it. I'm probably going to sell it. They decided the day after, or 2 days after, Takara announced, Takara's the Japanese manufacturer and distributor of Transformers, they announced that they're releasing the figure for the exact same price.
Right.
As mm-hmm. it was going for online.
And
so,
it was already going up on their website after the show.
Well, yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which
Hasbro put it
which
up.
I appreciate. There is a exclusive pack of Transformers trading cards, which is game coming out. And it was really hard to get it. I waited 3 days trying to get one, and they eventually restocked at Comic-Con this year. But a lot of people that are part of the group that I'm part of for that card game, they were freaking out. They had such a hard time getting it online. But the fact
right.
that they were able to get it online is something
yeah.
that's very important.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I
my problem
on
is
it
calling
for a long
it an
time.
Exclusive.
That's my...
I would like to emphasize what the word exclusive means. And so it's annoying. I don't think that anything should be exclusive. I think it's annoying. I don't
yeah.
think that because I go to a thing that somebody... you know. it's a random lottery whether you get into a lot of these shows, and then you get in, and just because you were part of that lottery system, you get the figure. Like, that seems... But in the fact that they're going to call it an exclusive, all right, then I'm going to try and get the figure. And then I spend all this time, and then they end up just putting it up online after because they don't run out. And then it's like, all right, so then I could have just done this at home.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Quick conspiracy theory time.
Yeah.
It's so... It's problematic because it artificially drives up the prices on the aftermarket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and that's the scalpers will go get them, then they'll sell them for $200 more than the cost.
At Comic-Con, I witnessed, and I never expected to see this, people scalping right in front of the Hasbro booth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they don't care. They're just,
It doesn't shock me, but it's just crazy to think that...
It's crazy. Well, because
that Hasbro doesn't do anything about it. They don't send security and say, get out.
It's worth the most the second you buy it. And so if you were ever trying to get a figure or, I mean, this goes for almost anything that's exclusive or whatever, wait a couple weeks before you look at prices, because they're going to be so artificially inflated as soon as the thing's for sale. People are lazy and they're going to buy, I mean, like the UCS Millennium Falcon is a Lego set.
I have the original.
There you go. Nice. That thing is worth like $4,000.
Yeah.
But people were selling, the new one goes for $800 and...
Nobody buying people, it.
No, it was crazy. I mean, we could not keep it on the shelves.
Well, now it's everywhere.
We sell exactly. But that's the thing, though. It's like any other set. Eventually, it'll just be out there on shelves. Mm-hmm, but exactly. What people couldn't wait, and there was like this wait list. People couldn't get a hold of it. So then people were spending like $2,000 plus on eBay to get one.
It's not worth
just
it.
Just so they can get it like week one. I'm like, dude, if you wait 2 weeks, you can save $1,200 bucks.
Or go spend the extra $2,000 and buy the original.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think the original looks better, personally. I'm just justifying owning an expensive Lego set that's sitting in a box.
It's a very cool set. Is it boxed still?
I built it once, but it's just sitting still? In the box in my room. It took a fall off a shelf.
Ooh.
It survived, just not in, just not, in, not.
Well, that's the great thing about Lego. It'll survive just in pieces.
So, I don't know if you've ever run into this, but have you guys ever run into other sibling collectors or anything like that?
I don't.
I'm sure we have, but nothing specifically comes to mind.
Nothing jumps to my mind.
I guess a lot of people that do collect, it doesn't always go, like, both siblings aren't always into it, but, you know.
Married people.
Married people, yeah. We know couples. We know a lot of couples that are in
couples
the
that collect
industry.
Together.
I guess that counts. It's still a major relationship based off toys. Yeah.
Right.
I know me and my sister, we build Lego together, and that is a big part of our life
as
brother and sister and stuff. But it's nowhere near the level you guys are at, where you live together, you have this massive, beautiful toy collectors that I've only seen pictures of through friends.
Well, thank you.
And it's just impressive. Do you guys have any stories as brothers collecting that stick out to you? Like, you guys talked earlier about how you got into it. Any other stories like that you want to tell?
Stories of...
collecting just, in general.
Like, I know you talked about how you got into it earlier. How about any stories, like, funny...
How about how you got into Turtles?
There we go. Something like that.
I mean...
Because you'd get, like, one toy.
I got into Turtles initially as a child of the 80s, so... Turtles were just the thing. And yeah, I was like 4 or 5 and my allowance would be $4.
I was 0 or 1.
$4 or something. And my parents would take me to Toys R Us.
R.I.P.
Just walk up there, and instead of giving me $4, I would just take a turtle instead.
Okay, so we're going to have to wrap it up here in a minute. So I wanted to thank you guys both really coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's
nice to be able to talk to people I somewhat know for my first show. And it really helps. But I want to give you guys the opportunity, if you have anything that you want to promote quickly. I know you guys are both very artistic people.
Well, my website, we're both artists. I think we said that at the gate. But we're both artists. My stuff's all available on corwinart.com. It's corwinart.com.
And you, Jeff?
I'm at gwanimated.com.
So if you want to check out any of this stuff that we do.
Once again, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yep. It was a good time.
This has been Josh Bass from KPC Radio, signing off.